This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I ever ruined a surprise? No, I don't think so. Like a major, like an important one? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I'm trying to think. I don't think so. This is along the same lines, but it's not. I did mistakenly think a lady was pregnant one time.
Oh, I think you told us that story.
I won't even. You're gonna have to tell me you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, that's when you said the thing about Malia a couple weeks ago or whatever it was. I was like, oh no, I don't think Malia's pregnant. This is terrible. Well, now Malia's very pregnant.
Yeah, and when she told me, she was like, yeah. Eating for two now. I still didn't want to say. I was like, oh, I what? I don't know. What?
Well, I
no.
I didn't, because I was like, that girl is not pregnant. I don't know what she's saying. And then like the next week, she showed up and she was wearing something. She was kind of like doing the pregnant rub of her belly. I was like, oh, hey.
Yeah, that's the close. I guess that's not a ruined surprise, but that's not.
Disrespect.
Not anything I'm going to do again.
Yeah, I don't think
she
I've
said,
ever.
I'm not pregnant.
Standing here anymore.
That is so tough.
My bad.
That is.
And it wasn't even like she was like.
Is this adult Casey or kid Casey?
Oh, good question.
Adult. I was probably like 19, 20. And she was around the same age. And she didn't look like big or anything else like that. But the way she was standing and sticking her stomach out, it looked like it was a possibility. And it wasn't.
Mm.
Sorry.
At least you learned that lesson, though.
Yeah. Had to learn it the hard way.
Yeah, some of us learn it the easy way.
Have you ever blown a surprise?
No, I don't think so. I'm quiet, bro.
No, that's true. You don't say anything.
That's a good point.
Where did you how did you propose? We went over this. It was Disneyland?
No, Universal Studios. We were like going there or whatever, and I kind of hid that around my birthday, because my birthday is the 31st, so.
Were you on Indiana Jones when this happened? What happened?
No, we went to, there's like this, that's the this ride. Disneyland.
Or no, it's, I'm thinking of The Mummy. That's what I'm thinking of, that ride. I don't think Indiana Jones is.
Nah, The Mummy's fire. Nah, there's this spot in Universal Studios where it's kind of tucked, but you can oversee like the city and stuff like that, the little park, all the golf courses.
Before
and all the
escalators? Like by the escalators?
Yeah, above the escalators.
Yeah,
you don't go down the escalators. Yeah. And like the fires would be out there and all out there and all that. So.
That's a nice little spot. That's
yeah,
nice
I was scoping. I kept, nice oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I kept saying, hey, find a spot. My birthday wish for you to find a spot for us to blah, blah, blah for New Year's or whatever. It worked. She didn't doubt till then.
That's but you guys had talked about this. Like, has anyone ever proposed where they didn't know the answer?
Brother, I am 12 years in. She's been waiting for a little while.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm sure there's people who were
10 years in at 10 years in.
Like you guys,
I'm sure there's people who took a leap of faith.
You guys waited 25 years, but like she wasn't surprised when you did it, right?
No, she wasn't surprised.
I'm not trying to say that she wasn't. That like
no, I know
they're not
Crystal,
happy,
Crystal.
But like we all like everyone knew what the answer was going
to
be.
Yeah,
that's
a crazy leap of faith to take, man. People do it too.
That is a leap of faith.
People do it. I'd be like, bruh, y'all stronger than me. That's tough. And then the people who do it like publicly or at games and stuff, that's crazy. That is crazy. There's no way.
I waited.
Oh, no chance.
There's no way.
No chance.
I waited how long just because we met sophomore year. So I needed to get some money.
Yeah.
Once we made some things work here, like 2 months after we made some things happen here, I got it.
We joke, how old are you again?
It's 28, I think.
I ain't getting up there,
no,
bro.
29 at the end of this year.
Oh, damn, bro. 20 is gone.
Okay, wait a second. It's March. Your birthday's December 31st.
Yeah, boy,
you're not doing that. You're 28 years old.
That's what I said. I said I'm 29 at the end of the year. I'm 28 now.
No, I can glean your. I can figure out what your next birthday is, your next year, by how old you are.
Yeah, boy, Jesse, you're almost ready for Social Security.
Boy, Jesse.
I'm with you guys, huh?
Boy, Jesse.
Unk, what up,
Jesse,
Unk?
Jesse hitting them.
Sickness. Unk Jesse, huh?
they have the actual breakdown for the ages. I think Jesse is in Big Bro territory.
Makes sense. I think, the point where my 18-year-old cousin talks about stuff and I have no idea what the hell he's saying.
Yeah, I think you're Big Bro. I actually don't think Unk. I might be OG. I don't know which is first, OG or Unk. But yeah, I'm about 3 years.
That's a great question. Yeah. What's first, OG or Unk?
I think it's Unk. And OG is
So I just skipped Unk Marcus Thompson, who I found out is older than me, calling me OG.
No, OG's the oldest.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
OG
what I said.
Is the oldest.
Unk
okay,
is first.
Yeah.
And then you get the OG and it's OG.
What are we, KC? Gen X or Millennials? We're Millennials, huh?
Yeah, millennial, yeah.
Okay, man. Don't do... Okay. Okay.
the great generation, what was that?
The greatest?
He's D-Generation X, I think.
No, what am I again? Gen X, right?
Hey, Gen X, yeah.
The greatest
it wasn't
generation
the name,
was like
it was
a generation
the years.
Before.
It was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, me and Dr. King. Me, Dr. King, Malcolm X, the JFK assassination.
Oh man, that was one of the biggest surprises I've ever seen. That don't even add up. But
it was by a year, right? It was because it ended.
Barely missed the cut. I barely made the
80.
Cut. Yeah.
Yeah, it ended in 80, and the new one was 81.
Well, just thought about some poor Jesse's kids.
Well, yep.
Yeah, shout out to the little Jim Betas out there.
Oh damn! I would make a movement to change that name if I was.
Is that just an American
thing? I'd be a baby.
Who even decided
but by the time
that?
I get older,
is that just an American
that.
Thing? Like, if I go have, like, if Martin, like, if Crystal gives birth in Germany, is he still Gen Beta? How does the generation
work? It might just
work?
Be an American thing because I don't think they were talking about baby boomers in London.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe I can international this thing.
Well,
that's the loophole right there. I think we solved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just have your kids outside the country.
I mean,
well, that could solve a lot of your problems.
I don't know. Might make things difficult, depending on how you look at it.
That's either going to solve a lot of problems or create a lot of problems. One or the other. One or the other.
To your point, and like TC was talking about earlier as well, there's a lot of people have been talking about Vlade.
Mm-hmm.
Vlade coming back, possibly being the GM. That
well,
there's
he ain't no coming back. He here. Vlade here. I don't know what he's doing,
well,
but
just
he's here.
As taking over as GM. There's a couple things going on. I don't think that would be the case. I think if he came back with a title in an official capacity, it might be like your president of basketball ops type guy.
That's what he was before.
Yeah, that does not make me feel any better.
Well, but,
wasn't that his title before?
I thought it was just general manager, but it might have been. It might have been.
Okay.
But you know, you have that. But you bring a GM in. There's that. But I also, or special advisor. Like, I don't think he comes back with,
man,
like,
you can't have a special advisor. That's what
Vlade Divac
before.
Should not have a title. Vlade Divac should not have a title whatsoever going into next season.
There does
should not.
Not need to be a shadowy figure lurking over the front office.
If he wants to kick it with a
there doesn't need to be a Joe Dumars. There doesn't need to be a Vlade Divac. There doesn't need to be any of that. Unless you are creating vibes and your name is Alvin Gentry, you don't need to be around.
Yeah, if Vivek puts a title on Vlade, then just go ahead. That tells me, oh, yeah, he didn't learn.
Yeah, if you put a title on Vlade, just let him run the damn team.
I don't disagree, and I'm not – look – I ain't even going to say because it's not even a comparison. I'll say just for the show context, but trust me when I say this is not, I'm nowhere near calling this guy this. But Jerry West was a special advisor, right? Like with Golden
State. You don't want me to respond.
But no, in Golden State, he was a special advisor. Bob Myers was the GM. And
okay.
Jerry West was
okay.
a special
Who
advisor.
Who had final say?
Probably Jerry West. Is what I
can think of one scenario where Jerry had final say. I can think of one scenario where Jerry West had final say. And I believe it was the Klay Thompson situation. Mm-hmm. You trade Klay Thompson, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm. And that's what.
And that, I don't even know if that's final say. That's more like strong arming.
Right, right. And that should be the extent of something like that, right? Not a decision maker. You should be an advisor.
Vlade doesn't need to be in the room. We've been there, done this. He got fired.
Mm.
Been there like the second time. Like what? Like just do it right this time. Mm. It's not hard. It's not. It's not that difficult.
I think I don't. Vlade, I'm assuming, or maybe I'm preparing myself. He'll be around in some official capacity. I think, but I don't think he's going to be official GM.
I think it's the other way around. I think he's just going to be around in some unofficial capacity.
Could be that, too.
That works, too.
Could be
and that's essentially what it is now. But because, and the issue is, you talk about Jerry West and the Golden State Warriors, or Jerry West and all these different places. Like, the Warriors were, they had their front office, and they were comfortable in their front office. And if there were disagreements, there were disagreements. Obviously, Jerry, and I believe I remember that story correctly, that, okay, if Jerry felt strongly about something, as strongly as he did about that, that's the only one of those stories I know.
Right.
It doesn't mean that there weren't disagreements, conversation. It doesn't mean that any of that stuff didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It means I am aware of one scenario where Jerry said, if you do this, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Golden State didn't do it. They went on to do what they did, and Jerry, for the millionth time, was right.
Okay.
The next time Vlade is right, it'll be the first.
It's just it's one of those things where it's almost like the coaching discussion that we had yesterday. Unless you're getting Bob Myers, like everybody's just a guess. Like unless you're getting Bob Myers. Somebody either has not been in this position before or they got fired. Like, I don't think you're stealing a successful GM from somebody right now.
You know about Vlade,
though. You're not doing that.
But I could say that about...
he was here, though. He was here.
But what I'm saying is, like, say David Griffin. He got fired in Cleveland or let go or whatever happened there, went to New Orleans. He still got fired somewhere. Somebody looked at him and said, you're not the answer.
Yeah, that's fine, but maybe he could be here. I already know you're not the answer here. I know. I've already been through this.
It's true, but...
I'm
press the Doc Rivers button.
Like, well, I wish you'd tell the whole story.
Yeah, didn't want to pay him. He was like, look, I helped build this team. Like, you got to pay me.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Gilbert said no. He's like, I'm leaving then. And New Orleans paid him. Mm-hmm. And, hey, salute. Colby Altman's done a fantastic job. I believe Colby Altman was the next general manager. I believe it went great for Colby Altman. Colby Altman's done a great job.
Yeah.
Now I think Colby Altman's title is different. I think there's a different general manager there. But again, it's just like there's a different structure within Cleveland. And that's the weird – I guess it's weird with the NBA. The structure of every front office isn't the same.
Mm.
Be it general managers, president of basketball operations. I mean, I think – Pop's title was player personnel. Mm. R.C. Buford is the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
But who had final say? Yeah. I assume Greg Popovich did.
Yeah, it always
did.
Felt like Pop. Yeah.
I assume Greg Popovich did, and R.C. Buford dealt with, you know, what you have to deal with. Like, we look at the San Francisco 49ers. John Lynch is the general manager. Mm-hmm. I think we're all of the belief that Kyle Shanahan has final say.
Yeah.
So obviously that's football, but like all of the structures of front offices aren't the same. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Joe Dumars line was Joe Dumars wanted final say over everybody. And Vivek said no. And this is Monty and Wes. Vivek said no. And Joe quit. Mm-hmm. Went to work at the league.
Mm-hmm. I understand what Jesse and everybody mm-hmm. else says. I just don't. Those things don't bother me the way they bother.
What things?
Like the whole Vladdy might come back. Like Will Z is very upset about it. And Jesse thinks it's ridiculous.
Will Z
like
is upset about it.
There's also an element that, just like any other job, somebody can learn from their mistakes. Because they failed and were wrong the first time doesn't necessarily mean though they don't learn from the mistakes.
You willing to be wrong a second time?
Bruh.
I could be wrong with anybody. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'll be wrong with the other GM the first time.
Why, does it make it any better?
Yes, it makes it way absolutely better. You've been there already. You've been there. You walked in front of the rake twice.
Sorry, your team sucks. The team sucks. It don't matter if it's a new guy or the old guy.
Like, yes, it does, because the old guy was part of the reason why the team sucks. The old guy's part of the reason why you didn't take Luka Doncic.
Hire a new guy and they suck, I'm not going to be any happier.
Well, then just fold up the team then.
It's all about if they can win or not.
Yeah, so I'm going to get the guy that may be able to do something. I already had a guy here who couldn't.
What I'm telling you is,
If no one makes a Donald Trump reference in the next 10 seconds, I'm going to burst.
I try not to mention him at
like,
all.
That's not my come guy. On, man. Yeah, not, like, yeah. Like, what are we doing right now?
We don't say that word in this house.
I never mention him.
Man.
If I could help it.
All Jesse's saying, well, you screwed up the first time. How you get to do it again? And all I'm thinking, like, no one's going to say it, huh? No one's going
to
say it.
I try not to think about that man ever. But, I mean, he's the exception. I don't think he can get anything right the second time around. But I'm just, like, I'm not, and my whole point is, I'm not happy if they're not winning. So it's not like, well, at least you tried somebody new this time. Who cares? You're not winning.
Yeah,
it didn't work.
Still, there's a process to it. Like, you got to, like, yeah, but you can't just say whatever. And you can't just whatever this thing.
We're experiencing that right now. Everybody wanted Vadi out so bad. Go get a basketball guy. Go. Everybody was talking about how smart Monty is, and now it don't work. I don't feel any better.
Yeah, because you got two basketball guys. That's why. Like, there's context. You got two basketball guys. You got two guys from the same interview process. We're asking you to do it normal.
I'm asking them to win.
We're asking the same thing, but you're not. The other way hasn't worked, clearly.
But the
Vex whole way has not worked, whether it be Vladdy, whoever was before Vladdy, or after Vladdy.
The whole thing is, and not you, but people are saying this is what you do as if that guarantees results. And
maybe they're not saying this is what you do. Maybe they're saying this is what you don't do.
That's fine too. But there's examples of doing it a certain way and you were successful.
Okay, give me one.
The Kings. They grabbed themselves by the bootstraps, got to the playoffs, had a winning season, did all this other stuff. It collapsed, but it's the same structure, right? It's the same structure that won a couple years ago. Now, you could say that's just hyperbole or just the lightning striking or something like that.
When you say structure, you mean front office structure.
Yeah, the organization is structured the same way.
But it's not. Mike is gone.
But I'm how you – the front office.
Okay.
The front office is structured the same way. Today,
someone went to Utah.
That, well, 2 days ago, yeah. That it was structured the same way when they went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, maybe that could be lightning in a bottle. I mean, you weren't this bum team last year. You were 10 games over 500 last year with the same organizational structure.
48-46, yeah.
So that structure could suck, but you won, so nobody really cares.
But you won the first year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You were above 500 team last year. You didn't get into the playoffs last year, and that's your ultimate goal. But my whole thing is, like I said, I just.
So at what point do you stop getting credit for the playoffs? Like a singular playoff appearance. Because, like, let's go back. Like, if the Kings, if the Kings make the playoffs, sorry, Will, we'll get to this damn question at some point. If the Kings make the playoffs this year, I feel nothing about this franchise. Nothing. I don't feel anything. If you if you run it back, and I'll like center that on like the main guys. If you run it back, like whatever. Like I don't feel anything. I don't feel excitement. I don't feel a future. I don't feel a tear down. I don't feel a rebuild. I just, all right, cross my fingers and hope it works. 2 years ago, you couldn't have told me we weren't on the right track. 48 wins. I mean, these national media people could bitch and complain about the third seed and whether it was legitimate. It could have been the fifth seed. 48 wins. They look like a good basketball team. Mm. A few tweaks here. Oh, they need a little bit here. They need a little bit there. Jesse went old school. The core. Now, we were confident. We knew what we had. We knew who the tradable assets were. We knew who the core was. And that structure, that front office, oh, they felt like we could chill. We're gonna make one strong push for OG Anunoby. Or at least a push. Everything we've heard is that it was a push for OG Anunoby. Fall short? All right. Got to get Harrison in here. We'll get Harrison Barnes. We'll structure the contract in a way that we think he'll sign, he'll be happy with, but it will be easily tradable down the line if we have to. That was a good move by the front office, and they were able to utilize that later. Now, what they did from there, you can complain about, you can be frustrated with, you could talk about, because obviously it hasn't netted the results. When it happened, though, no one had, few people, particularly in this market, had anything to say in July about DeMar DeRozan being a Sacramento King. More people were closer to your 52-win floor or a return to the play. The conversation wasn't making the playoffs in July. Mm-hmm. It was winning a playoff series. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's a basketball genius, and they knew DeMar DeRozan wasn't a fit. You talk about, you want to run tapes. You want to run videos. Go to YouTube. Mm-hmm. Go to July. Keep in mind all these people who dislike DeMar DeRozan today and listen to what they were saying then. Because, again, it wasn't play in. It was, is this a failure if the Kings don't win a playoff series? But it's all changed now. Everybody has a different opinion on these players. And everybody has a different opinion on the front office. Clearly, the front office had a different opinion of their head coach. And it's left Kings fans with that familiar feeling of who is in charge. And I think it's so baffling. I think the thing that leaves me so confused, and this will be my biggest takeaway of the season, my biggest confusion lies in the Mike Brown situation. You hired him 2 years ago, 48 wins, 46 wins. Mike was not the one who didn't improve the roster in the offseason. Now, I've heard things that Mike may have said about a John Collins or a Brandon Ingram. I've heard that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that the front office had deals in place to go get either one of those. Mm-hmm. I've heard they were a lot closer to John Collins than Brandon Ingram. But that's just stuff that you hear.
Right.
He wasn't in charge. 48 wins to 46 wins. You get to that offseason. Not really sure if I want him back here. Really? Why? After 2 years of success, why? That's where my question lies. Because after 2 years, you're willing to walk away from him. Why the hell did you hire him 2 years ago? It's not like it was 48 wins and 38 wins. Mm-hmm. It was 48 wins and it was 46 wins. 46 wins wasn't good enough. I get that. Making the play-in, losing to New Orleans for the sixth time wasn't good enough. I understand that. But that sent you to the determination we need to find a new head coach? And who the hell did you think that head coach was going to be? And the second De'Aaron Fox says to you, if I have another head coach, I'm leaving. Or if I have another head coach, trade me too, or whatever his line was. You in that moment started thinking about trading De'Aaron Fox. That second you thought about it. So in my head, you had a gun to your head. And you made the decision to bring back Mike Brown, knowing one slip up and he's fired. And he slipped. Bad. You and I, we thought he was going to be fired after the Indiana game. He's fired 4 days later. Or 5 days later, whatever it was. He was fired a few games later.
Do you think this front office ever had a plan beyond step one? And I mean in the sense, like, you hired Mike Brown, but clearly your team-building philosophies were different. I mean, it was after the first season. Bench Kevin Herter and all that. Like, you traded for Domas. Like, you never added wings or anything. Like, you never just took the second step, I feel.
And you, I mean...
Like, how did you not know that Mike Brown wouldn't work, I guess, is my thing, too. Like, I feel like if you hire the guy, you're like, oh, yeah, this is how we'll build a team. Like just lockstep every time. But after 1 year, it was, like, completely different. Like, how does that change after 1 year? I feel like at that point, you kind of know.
I mean, I don't know. I know maybe they were working together because we always talk about, you know, trying to bench Herter for Duarte. They made a move to go get Duarte, right? Like, that seems like, I'm just reading tea leaves, that seems like a collaborative effort. Duarte seems like a guy that maybe Mike Brown was willing to take an opportunity on, mm-hmm. and they went and got him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a collaborative effort.
I hate it if that's true.
What's that?
What you just said.
That's not...
Because if that's the... So now I have questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and you're saying it seems like, not that it... And I get why, and I 100% get why you would say that. But if Mike is like, oh, you know, Chris Duarte, let's try that out. We know he saw something because mm-hmm. of the way last year started.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, nah, I'm good on John Collins. And he's not smart enough. Low basketball. Oh, I'm good on Brandon Ingram. Doesn't play the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but give me Chris Duarte? And that's the one the front office is like, okay.
Well, that's the one they agreed on. Maybe the...
So the front office's job... Okay, you're right. Go ahead.
Maybe they looked. They had a list of guys. Like, we can go get Chris Duarte. What you think about that, Mike? I like Chris Duarte. All right, let's move on that one. And they move together on that one. They come together around the trade deadline or in the offseason. Oh, we got another list of guys, man. We can go get John Collins. What'd you think about that? I don't like John Collins. Low basketball IQ. Mm. All right, well, hold on. Like, what are we talking about?
Mm.
Now, here's where I think...
Oh.
Yeah. I'm trying to be a professional here, but...
Not me.
The boys are doing what they do.
Not me.
Season's starting off the right way.
I told you what's happening tomorrow, so you go ahead. Get your stuff off. Your
season's starting off the right... Great run, home run. Wilbur Floyd.
Hey,
let's go.
Hey.
Let's go.
Best win of the year right here. Best win of the year right here. Remember that?
Giants, we're down 3-2 with two outs.
Yep, go ahead.
My boy.
Yep.
Handle business. What's my...
your voice, my boy, what's his name?
No, well, I know what's this is Wilmer Flores, but my boy Patrick Bailey. I was about to call him Connor Bailey for whatever reason. Big time base hit. No. Tied the game up at 3. And then a 3-run homer for my boy Wilmer. 6-3 Giants. They need a pitching change in Cincinnati. Let's go.
Hold your thought on the Kings.
Okay.
And we'll come back.
Okay.
Stealing with KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
For those that are wondering, this is the last month of me and KC working here, I guess.
It's been nice.
Yeah.
It's been real.
There's a company retreat going on in a month.
So what I don't know how Aaron did. So Aaron, I just
No, he did exactly what he wanted to
do. Yeah. Aaron, your intentions are very clear. Just know that if you're listening. We know how you feel about us.
There's like an email that says like SAC programming and it like encompasses that. I just think he forgot.
We're SAC programming.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I think he forgot. I don't think he did it that way. I think he did something else, and maybe he just forgot.
In case he's gonna walk into his office right now, what's your deal? What's your deal, pal?
Kenny had dinner with him the other night. Clearly didn't pick up the check, yeah. And now Jesse suffering the. suffering the...
Showed up in the team picture and MRE fired for no reason.
Chatty House After Party says he's not listening. You know what's dope? He actually does listen to our show.
I'd rather,
He's heard our pyramid conspiracies. Yeah. He tunes in at the wrong time.
No, I think that's the right time. Everyone knows we can talk sports.
He hears us a lot on Run It Back. And
shout out Run It Back. Still going strong.
Still going strong. Still standing. Still strong. Not today, though.
Yeah, no. Not today or Friday.
Sweet 16 action. Following D-Lo and KC.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. You were saying something before the Giants hit a 3-1 home run.
Yes. So I'm trying to figure out, we all are. I don't have the answer. We're just kind of talking, spitballing. But, like, we asked the question, like, where did this go? Like, how did, in a year, especially after a year full of success, did it just, like, go bad? Like, why'd you hire him, all this other stuff? We were talking about Chris Duarte, and I laid out a scenario where they came together as a collective and was like, yo, Chris Duarte, like, it's a guy that you like, Mike, right? And we can get him. Like, we kind of like him. Like, let's go get him. Yeah. What if they all agreed at that point that this is a guy that we like and we want on this team? And I'm not trying to blame this guy. I know it comes off like I'm, like, keep crapping on him. I'm not trying to. I'm just having, just talking.
Mm-hmm.
But what if Monty and West were like, yeah, nice little depth piece off the bench. And all of a sudden, Mike is like, nah, we're starting this guy. Wait, that's not why we brought him in, Mike. This is not what he was supposed to be. Yeah, no, we're starting this guy. And that guy that you had me fly over there to go get, I don't even know if he's going to play it. I don't know if he's playing at this point.
Oh, man.
Woo, that was close. Woo.
Go ahead.
Woo.
Go ahead.
Giants win 6-4. Runner on second base.
Yeah.
Guy hits one to the wall for Cincinnati. Caught at the wall. Giants win. That was close. Woo.
First Giants ninth inning comeback win on opening day in Giants history.
Bro, that's like four caveats. Baseball's
that's
crazy.
Baseball's
crazy for that.
Baseball
it was the first ninth inning come from behind victory on opening day on the road in Giants history. Yeah. In the season now.
Best win of the year.
Buddy Hield is the fucking all-time leader in three-pointers made behind Steph Curry.
Oh, sorry, Rustin.
In January. Yeah.
Said he was taping the Giants game. First of all.
What do you tape?
What do you still got a VCR for?
Yeah.
Russ
over his parents' wedding.
Russ setting his timer on his VCR to go off.
Russ, take a lap for taking something.
He doesn't have the extra 30 minutes, so he loses.
Oh, man.
Hey, Russ, going to come in next week. Yeah, I got a TiVo, guys.
That's tough.
I got a TiVo. Oh, man.
That is tough.
But, back to the Kings. What if, though, am I doing too much to think that might have been the situation? Like, yo, get Duarte. Like, yeah, we depth piece. We're cool. And the Mike's like, yeah, I'm starting this guy. Wow. Oh, we got Sasha. You know what I'm saying? Like, we think he's going to. Sorry, guys. He's not playing for me. And it's like, yo, what's
the crazy what's thing about Mike, like, said that the first day.
Yeah.
The first day. It's like he saw him in person with the NBA for the first time. I was like, I don't know if this guy's going to play.
I'm going to keep it real. I think Mike was right about that one, though.
Yeah, and I'm not saying
how would we know?
He had good moments. He had good moments, and then he got hurt.
Did he get a real chance to play?
Not really, no. No.
And I'm not saying Mike was wrong. I'm saying
and he got hurt, too.
Like, are we confident in saying, no, man, that kid couldn't play?
Yeah.
That ain't a kid. That was a grown-ass man.
And he
got
hurt, too.
He looked slow and unathletic.
There's a lot of slow and unathletic. Like, give him an opportunity to adjust to the league and adjust to finding his role in the league. I'm with Damian. Mike could be right. You could be right. Like, maybe he couldn't play, but he never got an opportunity, it felt like, between Mike and injuries. Because it feels like when he was about to get a real shot at consistent playing time, he got hurt. So that also plays a factor into it. But then you've got those two situations. And then You look, I didn't talk directly to the guy, mm-hmm. so I can't say that I got this straight from him. But there are a lot of people who, there are a good number of people who have told me they were not happy that Mike wouldn't play Keon Ellis.
Yeah. Right.
Like, they were livid about that, actually.
Yeah.
And that, so along the way, like, the first year was all good. And then you start to make moves together, and maybe they just started going bad. Now, here's the interesting thing about this, and it kind of goes back to some of the things that we say and how it, like, Vex always on the wrong side of history, right?
Every time. It's phenomenal.
People are like, I bet you if we were talking about it yesterday with James Hamm, or the other day or something like that. And he was like, yeah, the problem wasn't bringing back Mike Brown. It was you didn't give him the roster. So universally, everybody was in favor of bringing back Mike Brown. What if Monty was like, I don't think this is the guy. I think we need to really consider whether we move on. And Vivek said, no, we're going to work on consistency here. We're going to keep him here. I believe in Mike Brown. You ask, like, you guys can't decide. I'm going to say, sign him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the owner getting involved in things, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the owner not letting the basketball people do basketball things, right? But everybody agrees. So it's cool. You can't find fault on him for that one.
Nope.
But when it goes bad, like, they portray the other, oh, they're not letting Monty do what he want to do. All of a sudden, and who knows what it is, Monty telling people it wasn't his choice to fire Mike Brown. He's got on the podium and said, it was mine.
Mm-hmm.
It was my idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now he telling, or somebody telling Sam Amick and all these other people that they said it wasn't his.
Jeremy Lamb's idea.
First of all, I think that's kind of whack. Like, if you're going to fall on the sword, fall on the sword. Don't go through back channels and try to get your side out, especially while you're still here.
It wasn't Monty. There's 0% chance it was Monty McNair.
I know. I agree. But somebody was telling Sam that. Somebody was telling Sam that Monty didn't want to fire him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also so vague. I mean, and once again, because I talked to Sam, I'm not trying to. Sam is one of the good guys,
mm-hmm.
and his work is phenomenal. So I'm not questioning his work. I question what he's being told and what those people are saying to him.
Yeah.
Not that Sam is making any of this up.
Well, he's Sam's definitely not doing
no,
that.
No, he's being told these by Neither trusted people.
Yeah,
they're being told by trusted people. But like I said, there's also a vagueness to Monty McNair didn't want to fire Mike Brown. All right, he didn't want to. Does that mean he said, no, I'm not firing, and somebody told him to fire him? Or I didn't want to, but, man, we had to do what we had to do to save the season. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. saying he didn't want to fire him, there's a couple different ways that could go. Am I reaching a little bit too much with that?
No, but, like, what else is Monty going to do in the situation of the press conference? You know, for the record, whose decision was it to fire Mike Brown? Vivex. Whose decision was it to fire Mike Brown? Domas, DeMar, and the other guy that doesn't like him. Oh, no, he's going to say it was mine.
No, and he should. And the way I feel is it should stay that way. And I'm not saying Monty is the one who said these things to Sam and Anthony,
mm-hmm.
but it should stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
It should not come out in some article that it wasn't his choice, especially while he's still here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that shouldn't have happened. It should have just stayed a uniform across the board that this was his decision.
Well, one of the people in the front office who talks too much is known to be full of crap. Mm-hmm. It's not Monty McNair, though. Monty McNair doesn't talk to people. There are players that'll tell you Monty McNair don't talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They hired Monty McNair because he's smart. And it's like, I feel like you know, I look, Beam Team One worked. The Kevin Herter acquisition worked. The trade was ass, but the acquisition for the year worked. I feel like it worked because Kevin didn't know his head coach hated him. We talk about Domas all the time, and you know, we'll all get our clarity here at some point. We talk about, like, it's obvious Domas didn't like Mike. Like, they didn't vibe well. Yeah. Mike felt the exact same way about Domas. Mike didn't think Domas was a suitable guy for De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. Okay. It plays into something that we talked about. I don't remember when, but it was a conversation we had where none of these people were on the same page. Mike, Monty, maybe Monty and Wes, maybe Mike and the players. No one was on the same page. Everyone was living their existence and not working for a common goal. Mm. And until you can get guys bought in, and this is like, I don't know how you wash this Sacramento stink off of you. Mm. Because it happens so often, and we always associate it with players. But it feels like coaches, George Karl is one of them. Mm. And now it appears, you know, executives come in here and they work for themselves. Hmm. And then they go on and Monty appears to be the equivalent of an offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. a defensive coordinator. He's great in that role, but he's not the guy. Yeah. As much as it makes me sick to say this out loud, he needs a Daryl Morey.
Oh my gosh.
He needs, Jesus, well, he needs down, a guy like... above him.
No, you're right. No, I get your point. You know, and this is one of the
Daryl Morey, a 20-win general manager right now.
Where
expensive, yeah. 23-win general manager.
I don't want to make it like I'm putting on a cape for Vivek or anything else like that. But to me, just reading the tea leaves, hearing what you say, and believing the things that you say, like the scenario you laid out, it really feels like. It feels like, because there's he's meddling. It felt like Vivek probably wasn't meddling enough. He was letting these people do all this stuff, and they couldn't figure it out. He was hey, Monty, Wes, you guys handle that. Figure it out with Mike. Players feeling this. Y'all figure it out. I'm going to be on the beach with Jay Lamb and my daughter. And number one, he created some of that by having a Monty West situation.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, probably called for a little more meddling. To be honest with you, that's what I'm hearing. He was letting these people do whatever, and they couldn't figure this out. They couldn't get along. They couldn't get on the same page. They couldn't. It sounds like it's a mess, right? And he probably called for somebody saying, hey, y'all need to get this together, or this is what we're doing. Or maybe after everything hit the fan, that's when it did happen. You know what? The hell with what you're talking about. Go get me Zach LaVine. For 2 years, y'all told me no, and I listened to you. And look what it got it. You guys are running around crazy. Go get me Zach LaVine like I wanted 2 years ago.
I absolutely feel like that's what happened.
That presents its own problems. Because
that will correct themselves in a couple of weeks. Mm. And it sucks because it sucks for Kings fans. Mm. It sucks for the people who show up at the Golden One Center and just beg for their team to have some life. Yeah, it sucks for them. But the fact is, if the scenario you just laid out is reality, and I do believe it is, one's already gone, the other one's right behind him. Then what are you going to do? At this point, you said this. Well, how do we know hiring the Vlade is the wrong move? I don't even care. You going to hire Vlade? Fine.
That's kind of where I am. That's where I'm not arguing about. Like, I don't really care. I just want whatever you do to be right.
And it's not indifference. It's just clear that over the next, like, whatever they do this offseason, you could be as excited as you want to about it. But now the curve has changed. Hey, Kings make the playoffs next year. It worked. Awesome. You don't remember what just happened? Let's see what happens year number two. And now you can't even be too excited. Now you got to wait. Well, you know, hey, can we have a good week? Can we have a good month? Can we have a good season? Now we got to wonder, can we have a good 2 or 3 years? Because this thing, I mean, the Kings aren't going to match the 46 win total. So we're going to go from 48 to 46 to what? I didn't even realize this. We're asking them to finish under 500 to make the play-in. Five more wins is 40 and 42.
That's all bad, man. That's all bad. And a lot of people, no surprise here, Securing the Baglu disagrees with everything. He thinks that's not, there's no way Vivek does that. So which, and our guy Mark Wong, that's my guy, even though he went to Kennedy, that's my guy. Which one? Crazy, you know what I'm saying? Nah, he's rocking with the K house, man. It's McClatchy over here, Lions Den. But
sir, you're 40.
Who cares? They got 90 year olds that talk about their college. What are we talking about? Who cares?
That's weird too. Well, at least there they paid $100,000 to go there.
I attended classes. I was in Mr. Warren's biology class. So yes, I was in Miss Yamamoto's math class. So we'll talk about this. Really. Big ups to Miss
Katie's and, picture was hanging in his in that classroom.
And one of my favorites, Mr. Withrow, RIP. Yeah. But
went the way of flip side.
Is there a middle ground to you? I'll just ask the question to you. Is there a middle ground? Like, cause some people say, like, if he left it alone and let those people do
what they, Vivek?
Yeah. And let them do, that's what they always say, right? Let the basketball people do basketball things. If that happened, then that's a problem. Mark Wong says that's not how you run an organization. If he's meddling, that's a problem. Do you see a middle ground somewhere?
Yeah. The middle ground, I guess, would be leave the decisions to the decision makers. When you can't make a decision, step in. Or maybe, and it doesn't have to be step in and make the decision. It can be step in, I hired you to make this decision. This is very literally the definition of your job. What do you want to do? And the other thing is, like, you obviously have, this is the problem with Monty and Wes. This is the problem with Vlade lurking as an advisor or a consultant or a president of this or vice president of that. This is the problem with Joe Dumars being around. Wes and Monty are at odds. What happens? Well, you run to the special advisor and you tell your side. No. You have a general manager or a president of basketball operations or one in the same, whatever. You have a final decision maker. You have scouts. You have assistants. You have people that you trust. Everybody gets together. Hey, everybody thinks the best move for the Kings is to trade De'Aaron Fox for some draft capital in one of their young guys and maybe a depth piece for us. The decision maker says, okay, I've been thinking a lot about that. We have the opportunity to go get Zach LaVine, and that's what I'm going to do. We have the opportunity to get Zach LaVine, and we're going to move off of Kevin Huerter. And De'Aaron obviously is the centerpiece of this trade. This is the decision we're making. It will keep this season alive, and it could stretch into next year if we you know, do our part right. That's the decision. It doesn't matter what the people under him said. That's the decision. There can't be someone over him saying, no. Go with what they said. Because then you're useless. There is no point in you existing in this organization. You need a final decision maker. Vivek can weigh in with his opinion. I'm fine with that. There needs to be a final decision maker. Because if Vivek is the final decision maker, again, the guy you gave that position to is useless.
From everything that I've heard, I just kind of talk to people. Monty is that and has always been that. I've heard from three different people.
I think that is true until the Zach LaVine trade. And that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I think that is true until the Zach LaVine trade. It might not even be true with DeMar DeRozan. I think the show is over. We got college basketball coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Gigantes. Vamos, Kings. Light the beam.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.